It's such a friendly place.
And today's Focus programme is introduced by Jules Alderson.
So thank you so much for joining us today to talk about Norwich Open Christmas. Could we start by asking you to introduce yourself to the audience, please?
Yeah, sure. My name is Bill Ashton and I'm the chair of Norwich Open Christmas.
And what is Norwich Open Christmas?
Norwich Open Christmas has been set up to provide a traditional Christmas day for those who are alone, homeless or in need.
And how do people find out about the Norwich Open Christmas? Do they need to register to come along?
No, they don't. If I give you a bit of brief history, we've been going 35 years this year. First year, there were about 20 guests, 10 volunteers. It's grown over the years. So last year, we had just over 400 guests over the three-day period because we have to set up then the day and then we have to clear up afterwards. We have somewhere in the region of 300 volunteers. So the idea is to make certain those who are lonely, alone, homeless, or in need have somewhere to go to enjoy a traditional Christmas day. And Christmas Day to us, I suppose, has two sides to it. One is obviously it is a highly significant Christian religious festival. The other side is, of course, that it is, and this applies to a lot of people today, it is a time of coming together, of community, of family, of sharing gifts, whatever, but just making certain that people aren't alone on the day. And we all know there are an awful lot of people nowadays who fall in that category. We do one day a year, the clue's in the name, Norwich Open Christmas, so we do one day a year. So we actually dovetail in with a lot of charities who look after those people day in, day out. We think we add something to that mix.
So I'm trying to imagine a Christmas day for 400 people. Could you tell us about what actually happens on the day itself?
Yes. Can I just tell you what happens before the day? Okay. What we aim to do is provide a traditional Christmas day. So that will include a traditional lunch, Christmas tea, entertainment all afternoon. That's people playing instruments, singing, bingo. There's a quiz. During the afternoon, they have the opportunity to select free clothing. When they leave, they have the opportunity to take away a goodie bag, which contains 2 to 3 days' worth of normal food, plus we like to throw in a few festive goodies. If you want transport in, we'll provide free transport, and if you want it home, we'll provide that as well. So that really is the backdrop. So if we just go back to what happens on the days, to do a full Christmas lunch, as you will imagine, you have to peel a lot of sprouts. You have to peel potatoes, you have to peel carrots, you have to chop them. On the 23rd or the 24th, we have a group of volunteers at City College who spend several hours preparing vegetables. At the same time, wherever we're holding the event, which this year will be at the King's Centre for the second year because St Andrews isn't open, but at the same time, we have volunteers who are sorting through all the donations of food and clothing that we've had. So all donations of food, non-perishable food, they have to be looked at to make certain they've got good sell-by dates, they're well in date, and that doesn't contain any alcohol, which is very important. So that's all sorted Christmas Eve, and then just going the other side, obviously, just after Christmas, we have to go and tidy up. But Christmas Day itself starts at about 10, 11 o'clock for our guests who either walk in or are brought in. We also use special vehicles for those with physical disability so they don't miss out. We'll go and collect people in that category. So people come, they get a drink, they sit down at tables, they're introduced to one another, they then have lunch. They then have entertainment and, as I say, they get the opportunity to choose free clothing. So from 11 till about 5:30, it's very busy, would be an understatement. Oh, and by the way, those who have dogs, who want to bring their dogs, can bring their dogs. Generally speaking, the dogs are as well as behaved as anybody else there. We never had a problem with a dog.
You mentioned that there's entertainment as part of the day. What kind of entertainment can people expect?
In the King's Centre, which is slightly different from St Andrew's Hall, because St Andrew's Hall has an organ, so we have an organist in St Andrew's Hall. King's Centre, we would have people who come and play keyboards, or their... Last year we had a brilliant Cayley band who played really well. There's a bingo, there's a quiz. There's usually get some, not all, but certainly some members of the Cathedral Choir come in after their service. They will come along to us, which is absolutely lovely, yeah. It's that mix of traditional Christmas music and Cayley band and that type of thing. And bingo, you know, which I can't remember ever figured on the Christian calendar, but it's one of the things we have to put on.
I can imagine quite a lot of people do enjoy the comforts of something like bingo, which they recognise.
Well, they do. And, it is, yes, as you say, it's something that they recognise. It's something they can do. They can talk to one another. It is that opportunity which we hope to give people. You can come together and enjoy the day, and people enjoy it in different ways. But as I say, you know, I think it works. One of the reasons is the number of people who come back year after year after year, and that's great on one hand, but on the other hand, it's not, because it's a shame they haven't got family or something else. One of the downsides of running the day, as I say, we provide free transport. People ring up to book the transport. One of the saddest things is when a son or a daughter will ring up to book transport for their mother or father to come to us. Much sad.
Do you find that there's more people who are experiencing loneliness because family have moved away and families are often scattered across the world these days?
Yes, it could well be. I mean, that sense of community, you know, where you grew up, you got married and you lived in a certain area, that has completely changed. So, yes, there is an element of that. But again, there's other things which cause loneliness. One is obviously, you know, lack of money or whatever, and, you know, the pension won't stretch and this type of thing. So there's a whole number of reasons why people are lonely. And it is very sad. Interestingly enough, there's no difference in my mind between our volunteers and our guests, because we know that some, if not many, of our volunteers will volunteer purely because they're alone at Christmas. There is that crossover. So actually, those volunteers have a really good understanding of why the guests are there and can communicate, and it works, I think.
You've already mentioned that a group of volunteers will come in to help peel all the potatoes. I'm sure that's not the only thing that volunteers get involved with. Could you tell us more about the role they play?
On the day, we have people who are, our chefs, for example, are volunteers. They're all professional chefs who volunteer on the day, which is quite amazing, really. So then you've got people who will meet and greet our volunteers. You've got people who will get them cups of tea, will sit down and talk with them. You've got people who are serving the meals. You've got people washing up. You've got people tidying up. You've got a whole range of people doing jobs. We try to split it up so that people do probably different jobs. So they're not standing in front of the sink washing up for 4 hours. They do 4-hour shifts. If you want to do the whole day, you can, but people sign up for 4-hour shifts, basically. Yeah.
And when people sign up, do they tell you what they'd like to do, or is it more of a conversation about what you need and the things that they're able to do?
It's a combination of both. We put on our website, we put a list of the jobs that need to be filled, and then people will fill in what they want to do until that particular task is filled, and then they have to find something else. The vast majority of volunteers are happy to do anything, so that isn't a problem. I would also mention, in addition to the chefs, we have paramedics who give up their time on Christmas Day. We have doctors who give up their time on Christmas Day. We have to cover safeguarding because we are dealing with potentially a very large number of vulnerable people. So there's a whole number of jobs and issues in there, and every year we're amazed just how many people volunteer and the range of skills and stuff that they've got. And that's what makes it work.
Other than some of those volunteers perhaps not wanting to spend their own Christmas Day by themselves, what do you hear from the volunteers about why they choose to get involved?
A whole variety of reasons. Quite a common one is, I'm fine, I'm comfortable, you know, I don't have any particular issues in my life, I'd like to give something back, is one. The fact that, yes, I'm on my own at Christmas and therefore I'd just like to join in is another reason. The doctors, the paramedics are there because for a specific role, like the chef. So people do it for a whole number of reasons. Somebody who volunteers to do 3 hours of washing up, and you sometimes wonder, well, I think you probably could have had a happier Christmas because you're stuck at the sink. But it is just mixing with people and seeing people enjoy themselves. One of my favourite quotes was from a few years ago, a volunteer for the first time, talking to her at the end of the day, how she found it. And she said it was one of the most moving experiences of her life. She said, within a space of a quarter of an hour, I cried with sadness and I cried with happiness. That sort of sums it up. If you spend time and sit down to talk to our guests, there's a whole range of stories in there. You know, it's just, as I say, hopefully we give them a good day.
So thinking about then the guests that come to you on the Christmas Day, do you get any feedback from them about what it means for them to have somewhere to go where there's a community, as you said, of people?
Yes, we do. We have to be, I think, well aware of their needs, as it were, and anonymity and so on. So we don't do a sort of proper survey, but a lot of it is anecdotal. It ranges, I suppose, one end of the spectrum. Sadly, the lady is not with us, but for many years came. She always said it was her only social outing during the year. She always made a special effort and put on her best party dress, hadn't made an excuse every year to stand up and dance with one of the volunteers. So that was one end, if you like, the spectrum. The other is that people just say, it's so nice to be surrounded by noise. The noise level is quite something, 400 people all chatting away. And that's perhaps not something one would immediately think of. We have a case of a couple of gentlemen who've been coming to us for at least 15 years. One now has physical disabilities, is in a wheelchair. And these two gentlemen, they grew up in, going back to your question about the disbursement of people, they were born in the same village, they grew up, went to primary school together, went to secondary school together, and then both got married and moved away, but kept in touch. Sadly, both their wives have died. Now, they live either side of Norwich. Christmas Day is the one year when they meet up. They go and sit up a corner and they just talk to each other about the year and so on. And that is, and you just watch the expressions on their face when they meet and so on. You know, it's just amazing. And that's great. But on the other hand, you're thinking, oh, why can't somebody do that during the year for them? But these are that both sides of the coin. Yes, people like it. We get complaints. One of the usual complaints is the quality of our sprouts. They're either like bullets, or did you start cooking these at Easter? All that sort of stuff. And that we can, that is fine, because it means everything else was okay. We have a bucket in the venue where people can put suggestions, anything that they want to do. And interesting enough, the money that our guests put in there outweighs the number of notes and stuff that's gone in there. We say this is for you, it's free, but amazing number of our guests would just like to donate something, which is, you know, which is very sweet, which is lovely. As I say, dogs are well behaved. Nobody's complained about the dog meal that they get. And that's the only issue we had last year. A lady brought her emotional support animal in, which was a rabbit, which was the size of a small sheep. It was one of these big rabbits, and it's in a pram. It's absolutely delightful rabbit, but the dogs, the dogs, you know, they thought, oh, yes, there's something strange in this room. But no, the dogs were very well behaved. But yes, we've had rabbit last year. I remember a gentleman brought his ferret in, but the dogs generally, yeah, they're fine.
You mentioned that the guests will often make a donation, although there's no expectation that they do that. How does the Open Christmas event manage to support itself?
It supports itself purely on donations. We get nothing from government or local government at all, totally dependent on the donations that we get from the public. It costs us about £20,000 to put the day on. We have some brilliant donors who've been doing it for years. For example, Bernard Matthews donate turkeys and McCarthy's donate all our vegetables. And they've done this for years and that's absolutely brilliant. We have various charities who donate to us, organisations and the general public. And then we have all the general public who donate the non-perishable foodstuffs and the clothing. Interesting. For many years, we worked with Norwich Food Bank because basically the people that they were supplying were the same people who were coming to us on Christmas Day. So it worked out well. So they used to give us quite a lot of stuff. They're finding things have changed. Their donations are down, so we get less from them. So this year we will have to buy in a lot of the stuff that we want. Our goodie bag is going to cost about £20 a goodie bag, and we cost that against the well-known supermarket, just so we know what it's going to cost us. So it's going to cost us £20 a bag. We're going to make up 400 bags, so that's £8,000. Yes, it costs money, but touch wood, we've always been able to raise the money that we want. This year is no exception.
Is there any particular type of support that you need?
This year we need clothing and we need money. And I say money simply because we know we have to buy in. In the past, some years, we've been absolutely inundated with non-perishable food. So you can pick and choose how you make up bags. When you think you're not going to get the same level, it means that we won't know until Christmas Eve what we're short of, which then means we have teams who go out and have to buy stuff at supermarkets to make up the bags. You might ask, well, why not just decrease what you put in the bag? The answer to that is, why should we? We want our guests to get what they normally have. That's what we'll do as long as we have the money. The other thing is that everything that is left over, clothes, non-perishable foodstuffs, we took a view a long time ago, rather than put it into storage and bring it out next year, there are those charities out there who are doing this on a day-to-day basis. So we will give it to them. So every year we start with nothing. And we think that's the best way of doing it. Because if we've got 200 tins of baked beans or soup or something sitting for a year, there are lots of charities out there that can do with that during the year. Every year we start from scratch again.
And if somebody's listening to this and is thinking, I could donate some clothing to help.
Yeah.
Is there a particular type of clothing that you're looking for and how would they get it to you?
Warm winter clothing, male, female. We also have children, but male and female in the main. How can they get it? If they go onto our website, if they just Google Norwich Open Christmas or www.norwichopenchristmas.org.uk, same with Facebook and social media, it's all there and that will bring you back to the links of how to do it. We will collect, so whatever you've got, if you can't bring it to us, we have collection centres in Norwich, but if that doesn't work, we'll come and pick it up from you.
And if somebody's thinking, I quite like washing up or peeling potatoes or meeting and greeting, how would they find out about volunteering with you?
Same again. Go onto the website. There's a whole section on volunteering. We are in the very, very fortunate position that every year we're oversubscribed. So if there was anybody thinking of doing it for this year, yes, try. See if you can get in. We're still looking for certain things like drivers we're still looking for, I know. But if not, then you know how to do it for next year. Norwich and Norfolk are absolutely brilliant. They give us all the donations and then they come and volunteer. You know, what more can we ask for?
And we're coming to the end of our conversation today.
Yeah.
It's absolutely possible that somebody listening to this might think, or maybe I could go along this year. If they were feeling nervous about coming to the Norwich Open Christmas, would you have any advice for them?
Depending where you're coming from, book a lift in, get a lift in, then you're meeting a volunteer to start with. The volunteers, there's a driver and an escort in every car. The escort will then show you in. They will pass you over to our meeters and greeters. And they're people who will look after you, find you somewhere to sit, get you a drink, all that sort of stuff. It can be a bit overpowering is the wrong word, but I mean, if you're not certain what it's like, I can understand that. But I can assure you that, you know, we will look after you and hopefully you will have a lovely day.
Is there anything that you'd like to add that I should have asked you about but missed?
No. Well, I can't think of it. I mean, the only other thing, I suppose, we have no paid staff. Yeah. So every penny that comes to us goes out. Yeah.
Thank you so much for your time. It's been a lovely conversation.
It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.